Welcome to the Protecting Your Family's Future podcast. I'm estate planning attorney Richard Chamberlain, and in this podcast, I'm going to guide you through important estate planning topics so you can make sure that your estate plan will protect those you love and preserve what you have. I'm glad you're here, so let's get started. Hi, this is Richard Chamberlain, and welcome back to the Protecting Your Family's Future podcast. This is episode number 71. Today, we're going to be talking about year-end gifting strategies. So the month of November is coming to a close. You might be listening to this, and it might be December already. That's a time when a lot of people think about making year-end gifts, whether it's to individuals, family members, or to their favorite charities. So I thought it would be a good idea to talk about different ways to make gifts. The first thing is if you are gifting to family members, a lot of people will do that as a year-end gift to get assets out of their estate. If you're doing that, remember that the annual exclusion amount is $17,000. That means that you can give $17,000 to any person or multiple people that you want, family members, non-family members, it doesn't matter. So you can give $17,000 if you have three kids, you can give $17,000 to each of them. If you're married, your spouse can also give $17,000 to any people that your spouse wishes. So that is a way to make year-end gifts to family members. You should remember that you are allowed to give more than that amount. However, if you do, then you would have to file a gift tax return with your income tax return next year, showing that you made an excess gift. Now, that does not mean that you need to pay tax on it, but it does mean that you need to file that return. So consult with your tax advisor or CPA about doing that. The other kind of charitable, or the other kind of gifting that we want to talk about is charitable giving. So if you want to think about making gifts to charity at the year's end, there are several different ways to do that from a tax advantage perspective. One way is you can do what's called tax loss harvesting. So if you have securities that have a loss, you could sell those and then donate the cash from the sale of those securities and then take that loss, that capital loss, as a deduction from your income on your income tax return, as well as taking the charitable deduction for the gift. You could also, if your stocks have appreciated, you could gift the appreciated stock to charities. Now, I had a client a couple of weeks ago ask me, hey, can I give my kids my appreciated stock if they sell the appreciated stock? Will they have to pay capital gains tax? And of course, the answer to that is yes, they do. Because if you gift assets, whether it's real estate or stock or what have you, to individuals, they get your basis in that asset. So if you have appreciated stock, if you sold it, you would have to pay capital gains tax on that gain. The individuals that you give it to would also have to pay the capital gains tax because they get your basis. However, if you leave or give appreciated stock to a charity, they don't pay income tax. Charities don't pay income tax, so they can sell that appreciated asset and not pay any income tax on it at all. So gifting appreciated securities is a very efficient way to make charitable gifts. If you are required to take required minimum distributions from your retirement accounts, you can consider making qualified charitable donations to charities. That is, you give the required minimum distribution directly from your IRA to the charity. You don't have to declare that as income. There are limits to that and what you can do and how much you can do, so consult with your tax advisor on that one. But remember that that is a possibility. Another thing you may want to do is you might want to establish what's called a donor-advised fund. That is a fund that you set up with a charitable institution. You donate money to it, and then you direct the charity where to give those funds, where to give grants. So, for example, you may have a community foundation in your area. They can set up a donor-advised fund for you. You donate money to it, and you get an immediate tax deduction for the amount you gave into that donor-advised fund. Now, you can't get that money back. It's an irrevocable gift. But then, throughout the year, you can tell the donor-advised fund to give distributions or gifts out of that fund to the various charities that you want to support. So you have total control over who ultimately receives that. You just can't get that money back yourself. Now, that can be a really powerful way to do gift stacking. So let's say you typically give $10,000 a year to charity. Maybe you take $20,000 this year, put it into a donor-advised fund, and then over the next 2 years, you distribute money from that donor-advised fund to your various charities. Now, the advantage of doing it that way is you can take the tax deduction for the full $20,000 in 2023, because that's when you made the charitable gift into the donor-advised fund. You might want to do that so that you can itemize your deductions for 2023, and then in 2024, you might want to take the standard deduction. So if you're kind of at the edge of being able to take your charitable deductions, if you gift stack for 2 or even 3 years at a time into a donor advised fund, it can be a really powerful way to maximize your deductions. So those are just a few ways to do year-end gifting, either to individuals or to your favorite charities. I hope that's helpful for you today. If you have any questions, please reach out to us. Contact information is in the show notes, and we'll see you again next week. Thanks.
So that's it for this episode of the Protecting Your Family's Future podcast. I hope you found our deep dive into the world of estate planning and estate administration to be helpful. For more information and tons of additional free resources, visit our website, chamberlain-law.net. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time.